Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
And welcome to the UR Radio Show, URN Radio Show. I'm your host, the Paranormal Outlaw, the Mouth from the South. And joining me, as always, is the not-so-knowledgeable Jeff Stern.
No, the knowing, the know-all, know-it-all, know-it-all. There we go. Or all-knowing. Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. Did
that.
It do the old intro again? I put the new one on there.
It did. I had changed it, actually, to the new. I don't know why it did that. So I sent you a text earlier to tell you what to do.
Oh. You just got to go to, instead of going to the individual episode, you go to recurring under that.
Okay. Bit.
And then you find ours, because that's the scheduler, and you set it as default in there, and it'll do every show.
Okay. Well, I gave you the sound file name for the redone one.
Yeah, you just go into recurring and set it up there, and then that way when it schedules the next episode, it's always got the same thing. I figured that out.
I won't be able to do that. I won't be able to do that.
Well, that goes to my point, the not-so-knowledgeable Jeff Sterling.
No, it's not that I don't know how, it's just I won't be able to.
No.
There's a difference. I know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, man. So how's things been going?
Going well. Check this out. I saw this on, I don't know if this is a new thing or if it's just something I noticed just today, but Facebook now has a trending feature. And I don't pay attention to the right-hand side, so it may have been there all this time, and I just never noticed it. At the top of that list is, the headline is, Westboro Baptist Church founder Fred Phelps Sr. on the edge of death. The Sun says.
Oh, I see that.
And for those that don't know about him, he's the one that leads the church that goes around picketing soldiers' funerals and holds up the signs and stuff like that. Supposedly his, he's not doing well. And apparently his family won't let the kids that left the church come by and see him to say goodbye.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I also see on there that Winchester Mystery House, which everybody knows about that place. It's got all the nooks and crannies and places, but, for supposed ghosts to go, the wife of the man that created Winchester. It says Winchester Mystery House gets permit for overnight stays and on-site booze.
Wow.
It's cool about the overnight stays, but why would you want maybe on-site booze during the day? You don't want on-site booze during an overnight stay if you're doing an investigation.
To each their own, I guess,
Unless it's a Ben Bolton type thing, but, whatever. Yeah. Not to get too much in the political scene again, but I thought I'd throw this out there, even though it's a paranormal show. But Mom was telling me that her friend told her that Obamacare, if you have cancer – and you're on Obamacare, they will not let you get chemo treatment if you're 75 or older.
Wow.
So in other words, you contract cancer and you're over the age of 75 and you depend on Obamacare, you will not get chemo treatment. So you're pretty much screwed.
Way to help the people there, Mr. President.
Yeah. So I thought I'd throw that out there.
This plan is so stupid. I mean, I can't say enough about how bad this plan is.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people have benefited from it, but it's hurt more than it's helped. Just wow.
Well, now, on the entertainment side, I don't know if you checked it out last Sunday. Probably not, because I don't think you have a DVR. But I DVR'd it and watched it after the show last week. The show Resurrection, which had over 20 million watching it for its season opener, that is a pretty awesome show. And it deals with the paranormal in a way, because the premise of the show is there's people coming back to life. Not to give away too much, but in the first episode, an 8-year-old boy came back to life 32 years after his drowning death. And goes back to his parents' house, and of course they're in their 60s now, and they're trying to, and they did a DNA test, and he matches. So they're trying to figure out how in the hell this boy is back after dying 32 years prior. So it's kind of a psychological thriller, supernatural type show. So it's pretty cool.
Cool.
At least with those shows, you don't have to worry about people faking evidence, because it's all made up anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So, that's pretty much that. Now, like I said, I was telling you off air, next month, we will be having a pretty cool guest. He had some close encounter experiences with a Bigfoot. So we're going to get him on the show. And April the 13th, next month, our actual anniversary is April 17th, but this is the closest date to it. So April 13th will be our 3-year anniversary of this show and the network.
Woohoo!
3 years ago, Jeff and I started this whole thing. And now we got 7 shows on 7 days a week.
Hey, I did come up with something this week. I thought I'd pitch to you. See what you thought. Instead of getting me a tour bus, I now have a different request. It's a lot cheaper. You ready for it?
What's that?
A Segway.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I just think I could use those on, like, ghost hunts. Instead of walking around wasting my energy, I could just ride on one of those.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can buy one. I'm not.
No, you purchase it for me for being on the show. That's my perk.
Oh, Lord. Anyways, on to tonight's show, we have the Debunker Boys, who are part of the URN Radio Network's lineup. They air on Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, till 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. So we're going to get them on the air. I know I got 3 of them here, Randy, Robert, and Ryan. So I'm going to bring them all on.
All right.
I don't know if they're on. You might have to do it, Jeff, because mine's kind of acting up.
Here we go.
Zach, put myself on. I can put myself on if you want me to. That would work. Are
What's
we all on now?
Yeah. Well, all right, cool.
Rob,
now,
this is Robert checking in.
I apologize for the background noise. Schedules changed due to people just quitting at my restaurant, so I'm having to come down tonight at my restaurant. And so, yeah, I'm still at work.
Wow.
I'm cooking and talking about ghost hunting all at the same time.
Nice.
So you're slapping some meat around, huh? Gotcha.
Just warning, I do that every single night on this show.
What, beat your meat?
Well,
yeah.
During the show? Or, well, I am right now, so, you know, we're Dutch Rudder brothers. No.
last night on our show, Robert's mom came on, and I was like, "Hi, Robert's mom. I'm Ryan. I'm Robert's heterosexual life partner." And she goes, "Glad you specified."
Oh,
yeah. It's not real, guys. I like to be human. Yeah.
Well, guys, I know you guys have been kind of under the weather. I'm glad y'all are feeling better.
Well, yeah, me and Randy have been sick, Robert and Randy, but Ryan's just been, like, working 700 hours a week.
And on top of that, going to school. We want to talk about something supernatural. Well,
his girlfriend in the bed? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you did say something about having a Bigfoot guy on.
What do you mean?
I get it.
All right. Yeah. So, goodness, what are...
It's a yam,
Randy,
dude. You got to add a yam to the order, all right?
I'm about to
ask y'all some stuff. I'm just saying, because Jeff's never really talked to y'all before. So, see, Jeff, I'm not the only one that can give somebody a hard time like you.
I never give people a hard time.
Damn it, I was looking forward to it.
I never do that. That's not my nature.
You're full of shit.
I'm not full of shit. I'm the opposite.
Well, that's what we as the Bunker Boys are supposed to do.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. And I guess we could start with Ryan. Ryan, how did you guys decide to get together and do this, the Bunker Boys?
Well, it started with Robert and I. We started just chit-chatting back and forth. Actually, we came together. We've been friends for a while, but we kind of came together due to actually a girl, believe it or not. Not anyone that, you know, Robert's married and everything, but it was someone he knew, and we were just talking about that. We started talking about ghosts and stuff and how, you know, we started talking about how this is stupid, you know, we like this, you know, we're trying to go scientific with this, and we're like, this is cool, man. And we started our little bromance going on, and...
Which was actually the unofficial portal, yeah.
Yeah, we started the unofficial portal on Facebook, trying to, you know, keep everything. If you're going to put something, like, in a orb or something like that, back it up. Tell what the conditions were, how you tried to debunk it yourself and everything, you know. Just kind of back it up. And that got going for a little while, and people started hating us, and we still started getting broners over people kind of getting mad at us. And we were like, let's create this radio show, you know? And we were like, what should we call it? And the name of the Bunker Boys, actually, I think I got to give the name, I got to give the credit to the name to Robert because he came up with that. And I was like, that kind of flows. And
yeah, it worked
that's,
out
that's
pretty good.
Where we're at now.
Yeah.
We've been pissing people off ever since.
Yeah, we actually lost a debunker boy. Christopher Johansson decided to go his separate ways. So there's actually only three of us now.
Yeah, we're back to the three amigos.
Yeah. Donk, Honk, and Frunk.
At least he didn't name the Boner Boys.
Oh,
I'd have to wear leather then, bub. Yes, tight leather. And sing YMCA.
Yeah, I'm having images of that scene from, what the hell was that movie? It had John Travolta in it. And
Flashdance?
Yeah.
No. Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah.
And Bring Out the Gimp?
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows, I've now put my body-sized condom just so I don't get any diseases tonight.
That's all right, because I put a hole in it while you weren't looking.
That's probably good, because Robert has called me a serial man whore.
God.
Yeah. I'm working on that file for you right now, buddy.
We'll go through the every one of you guys. I'll ask you individually. Robert, how did you get into the paranormal?
Well, this is actually what occurred. Okay, well, as a child, weird things would happen to me. I would see things trying to get me, and I was really scared about them. And then I'm going to fast forward to the future real quick and explain that I have parasomnia. I have 5 sleep disorders, and all my things that have happened to me, I believe about 99% of them contribute to the parasomnia. But because of that, you know, that 0.1 or whatever percent, I can't explain, and some of the investigations I've done is what kind of tweaked my interest into the more technological stages of the paranormal and how things work. So that's kind of where I come in, and I think most of it's horseshit, basically. And I like to show people that it can be explained away in a scientific way, but not everything can be explained away. What the hell are you doing, Ryan?
Sorry, washing dishes.
I was about to say, it's fuck you.
Wait, I thought you were the man.
No. A funny
don't
little.
Don't you have people to do that for you?
No. But we have Mexicans that come in the middle of the night, but they're not. I'm not kidding. I swear to God, we leave this place trashed, and the next morning it's like a brand new kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's my story. Being, you know, me, Robert, Bunker Bob, whatever you want to call me.
Right.
They call me Bunker Bob.
I came up with the Bunker Bob. He hates that.
That's all right.
Randy, how did you get in the paranormal?
How did I get involved in the paranormal? I've had a fascination with it probably came out of an interest in, like, fantasy when I was growing up. You know, like, I don't know, just the whole idea of fictional characters like Merlin the Magician.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like I those the stories of King Arthur and the you know, mythology and stuff like that was always something I was really fascinated with when I was very young. And then as I got older, I became interested in the occult and metaphysics and the paranormal and stuff. So I started studying that stuff, you know, later teenage years, and then. I didn't actually start ghost hunting, though, until probably about 5 or 6 years ago and stuff. When a buddy of mine, actually, he was a big fan of a lot of the, the television shows, you know, like Ghostbusters or, you know, Most Haunted or whatever. And he decided he wanted to go out and do that stuff himself, so he asked me to co-found a group. And that's kind of where I jumped into it.
Cool. Mr. Ryan?
Yes, sir.
How did you get into this?
Dan.
Yeah.
What was that?
How did you get involved in the paranormal?
Oh, well, I've always been fascinated with weird stuff. Like, growing up, you know, I wasn't into football or anything. I was into doing magic tricks and gymnastics, you know. Some people call that gay. I just call it European.
In Europe, Brian.
Well,
only in
Europe. On the record, I'm not homosexual. But anyways, so we lived across the street from this lady that had this Victorian mansion, and I used to do a lot of work for her. And her and her son started talking about hearing, like, footsteps in the attic and stuff like that. And I was like, well, I want to experience that. I want to stay the night in her house. Well, I never got around to staying the night. But one day, actually during the day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was carrying boxes up to the attic, and I had just come down, and all of a sudden I heard a box fall, and then I started hearing footsteps, clear, distinct boot steps across the floor of the attic. And first thing I did was run upstairs to figure out what the hell those noises were, and I could not figure it out, you know. And I started going to places that people said were haunted, had a few more really scary experiences, and was just always fascinated. Then I got into the Army, and I actually got hooked up with an all-Army ghost hunting team. And it just kind of took off from there. You know, I started doing research and started learning and, you know, developing my own hypothesis. And then I met Robert and Randy.
Nice. Yes, you met me. The destroyer of worlds. Yeah. Destroyer of people's beliefs is more like it. But sorry about that. I apologize.
Oh, my favorite emails. My favorite emails that we get are the ones that people think we are personally targeting them. Whenever we do our radio show or something like that, we get an email saying, "You know, I don't appreciate what you were saying about me. You know, I'm not going to be part of this or whatever. If you are just going to bad talk me and stuff like that," we're like, "Who the hell are you?"
Yeah, people we've never even heard of before or talked to or, you know, anything.
Yeah, they think they're that special. Yeah, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, my mom's barely that special. You know what I mean?
You know, it's funny. I never got an email back from the Long Island Medium. I was trying to get her on our show.
Was you? Well, we're going to have a couple big names on the show. I can't say the names right now, but I've got some stuff in the works. I've got an actual psychic. We talked about her on the show last night, but then we've got someone that has exclusively worked with, I won't say his first name, but people say he's an angel, and that's all I'm allowed to say. He was an assistant of his at one time. He was an assistant of his at one time, and he's going to come on the show and talk about how illusion can be seen as magic and that kind of thing. So.
His name rhymes with a blind squeak, right?
A what?
The magician you were saying, he's an angel?
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anything else because I've been sworn to secrecy. Gag order, bro. Yeah, he's a freak.
Who, me?
Okay. No.
That's well known. I was going to say, that was well known.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows who I'm talking about, but on a legal standpoint, no one can say shit to me, so there we go.
There you go.
Moving on, sir.
you know, it's quite it's there's so much out there that people put out on the internet that they claim to be evidence, you know, and a lot of them are either A, just plain stupid, or B, they don't go through the steps in order to debunk something, you know. And a lot of times I think if you got a good piece of evidence, you should send it to somebody that's not a part of your group, your team, that's got an unbiased opinion, and see what they say about it before you even put it on the net. But there's so much crap out there that it kind of gives the paranormal field a bad name when you see some of this evidence that's being posted.
Yeah, a group kind of like us that we actually, you know, you might as well call us like a amateur forensic science people or something. I mean, I wouldn't call myself amateur, but I take it to the extent to, like, make sure that if it's not infrasound, it's not an EVP. I'm kind of a dick like that. So, yeah.
Robert has no problem being a dick. Who have you pissed off? You pissed off Miley Cyrus, and you pissed off...
I didn't know it was really her when I told her to go
Zach
F herself. And I didn't know it was him when I told him to go F himself, okay? I thought they were fakers. And then I find out through a true source that they're not, that was really them. I'm like, oh, my God. That's my bad.
You know, I'm going to Las Vegas this summer, and if I run into Zach Bagans and he kicks me in the dick, I'm blaming you.
Oh, he probably won't be there. He'll probably be with his gay boyfriend or something. Or his straight boyfriend. One of the two.
If he does it, man, you have got to get it on, you know, like, you've got to videotape it, man, and put it on YouTube.
What, me getting kicked in the nuts?
Right, yeah. By Zach Bagans, that would be like, that would
boyfriend.
Be epic.
I got kicked in the junk. Hey, Robert, you being one of the geriatrics of the group, isn't it past your bedtime?
Yeah, actually. I got to go to work at 5 a.m.
Take your medicine,
yeah, Robert,
change your diaper, and go to bed.
Robert's got to leave us here. He's got to go to bed.
You know what? In a non-gay way, love you guys. But I'm off here. Peace out, Dennis. Right, happy to go and shit.
Oh, Robert's a character.
Robert is a character. Like, we've spent I don't know how many hours on the talking on the phone, and we'll just sit there chit-chatting, and so sometimes we get on a topic that's relevant, but not usually.
Yeah, you know, and of course, one of my friends, and he also hosts a show on the network. He did something pretty funny. He posted a pic on Facebook purposely that he was smoking his e-cigarette, and he blew smoke in front of the camera and took a picture of it. And he didn't say it was a picture of a ghost or any of that. He just said, "What do you guys think of this photo?" And you would. And, of course, you can imagine people that...
I see a face.
Oh, yeah, I see a face. That's a ghost, this, that, and other. And he just did it, you know, to see how many people would think it was a picture of a spirit.
Robert did that as well. He actually took a double exposure, or no, slow camera, or slow shutter speed photo of him inside his appliance store. And he said, "Guys, what do you think of this?" We got a couple of people that are like, that's a ghost. It's pretty funny. Remember that, Randy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What's your guys' opinion on the most photographic thing that I see out there, that people take photographs and post?
Oh, God, here we go.
Here we go. Pictures of orbs.
Oh, God.
Randy, you're the orb expert. We did a show called Dusk Has Feelings Too.
I think I think probably one of the funniest things I ever saw was it was in some forum somewhere, you know, paranormal related forums stuff, where there was a woman that was talking about orbs and how they were really elves and unicorns and fairies and stuff like that. And somebody posted a reply and said something, well, you know, if you really believe that, I've got a vacuum bag full of them for you. Yeah.
Well, go ahead and explain. I mean, orbs, you know, I can't even begin to sound smart when talking about this. But Randy, you got the smartness down to a T.
that's an area that I when I first started like ghost hunting and stuff, I saw a lot of pictures of orbs and thought, well, you know, hey, those are kind of weird. What the hell is that crap? And you know, and then I started looking online and checking around and watching, you know, different shows and stuff, and there was just like a whole lot of different opinions about what these things were. And I thought, well, you know, that how can something like this be so controversial? And so I dug a little deeper into it and found some things out. You know, there was a time when we didn't have digital cameras to use in ghost hunting and stuff. If you talk to some of the guys that have been around a really, really long time before digital cameras got, you know, so mainstream, back when they were using regular film cameras, you know, they had to go out and buy film and take it and have it developed or develop it themselves and stuff. They almost never got orbs in their photos, almost never. And then it wasn't until after digital cameras became so mainstream that orbs started appearing all over the place. You know, so, you know, what's the answer to that? And what it has to do with is just the digital technology, and especially in the smaller, cheaper point-and-shoot cameras.
Hello?
Hello?
That sounded weird. Hold
yeah.
on a second.
He was just trying to interrupt you, Randy.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah, you know, so it gets back to the, you know, it gets back to the digital technology and stuff, and really what an orb is in a photograph, and a digital photograph is just an artifact.
Yeah.
You know, that is created when the camera sensor doesn't know what the hell to make of it. It doesn't know how to construct what it's seeing. So it creates this, you know, blob in the middle of your photograph, or this, you know, this weird looking thing, and it's really nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The dust or whatever, you know, the flash hits some airborne contaminant, a particle of some kind, dust, bug, water, vapor, moisture, or something. It reflects back into the lens. Hit that sensor, and the sensor doesn't know how to interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, with the way technology is, and with cameras, you know, they have so many filters and whatnot, you know, so there's all kinds of things, possibilities it could be. And, you know, I've gotten some pretty good photographs with a cheap, you know, a cheap digital camera that barely has any filters, and it seems to work a lot better because it doesn't have all the bells and whistles on it.
Right, right. Yeah, in some cases, your cheaper digital cameras and stuff can work really well. The thing with orbs, I mean, if you want to eliminate orbs from your photograph, just, you know, turn the lights on and turn the flash off.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
and if there's really something there, you're going to get it. Regardless.
Right. Yeah.
I've had numerous cases where the client calls me, you know, and go in, and they say, well, we took photographs, and we took a photograph, and it looks like there's a demon on the wall, you know, and it's one of those things where the client doesn't know what's going on in your house, so they're already scared, and at the same time, they keep looking and looking and looking at these photographs until comes out of what you're staring at, you know? Kind of like
right.
What you're doing with the cloud.
Right. Yeah, if you look at something long enough, sooner or later your brain has this way of the human brain works in a way it's wired to try and make sense out of what it's looking at or what it's seeing.
It's called pterodalia.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they've coined the phrase matrixing. I think the ghost hunters were the ones who were responsible for that. But, yeah, it's the same thing happens with orbs. People see faces and skulls in them, and they see, you know, God only knows what else.
Oh,
we had
that one case with this one lady. She's contacting us, trying to get us to look at her stuff, and we explained it. We said it's not paranormal in this picture. It's, you know, and we explained the whole camera thing. We actually spent, what was it, like 30 minutes talking to her?
Yeah, something like that.
And then she goes, no, I have this picture, explain this picture, and it's a picture of the same damn thing. Some people
just do not want to accept the fact that they do not have the next irrefutable proof of a ghost.
Well, yeah.
You know,
unfortunately, that's just part of what we do, though. I mean, you know, you can go and you can do the investigation yourself. You can look at the evidence and stuff. And I mean, really, all we can do is give an educated guess about what we believe that it is. You know, as far as orbs and stuff goes, there's so much information out there about what I mean. If you look, I think Canon, even on their website, it talks about orbs, you know, showing up in photographs, and they literally call them artifacts, and they explain how this happens and stuff. But, you know, if you send a diehard believer of orbs to that website and they read it for themselves, they'll still dismiss it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, I've been doing this for about 5 years, and the only time a photograph of an orb kind of tied into some other things was I took a photograph of an investigator, and they had an orb sitting on their neck. It was on their neck, and a minute after that photograph was snapped, after I took it, she started complaining of burning on her neck, and I walked up and put my flashlight on her neck, and she had 3 scratches. So that was the only time that it tied into a personal experience, but I'm like you guys, you know, I'm just like whatever, you know, with orbs, and I've gotten in some arguments with my dad because my dad's on my team, man, and he watches the DVR.
Oh,
yeah, dad watches the DVR.
Like, the only thing me and my dad really have in common is we both like Reuben sandwiches and we love to play tennis.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, you know, when I'm the founder and he's a member, so, you know, I have to pull rank on his ass. And I had to get on to him a few times when we first started because he would watch the BDR system and he would see, you know, an orb float across the screen and then he would radio me. And I'm like, Dad, quit radioing me about damn orbs. It was probably gas and something floating across the screen. Quit blowing up my rocket.
Yeah,
that reminds me of this one investigation when I was with the All-Army ghost hunting team. And we went to this one lady's house, and right off the bat when we started the interview of the lady, we already knew she was batshit. And we went through with the investigation and everything. And while we were doing it, I was the equipment technician, so I was sitting there monitoring the DVR. And dust just kept flying by in this one room, and she goes, oh, my God, that's my bedroom. She goes, look at all the spirits in my bedroom. That's what she kept saying. And, you know, when you're, you know, I didn't want to be rude to her or anything, so I was like, yep, yep, a lot of spirits. Let's see if we can catch any of them.
Yeah. I think with the whole orb idea, I think the only way you could use an orb in an investigation is if it tied in with other evidence that you time-stamped at the same time it happened. That would be a whole way that would be you know, something more unexplained than what it really is.
But how do you tie in an orb to an investigation without it being taking coincidence into account? You know, because the brain has an amazing way of doing what's called selective memory. It only remembers pertinent stimuli. Non-pertinent stimuli that has no emotional connection to it, you forget it.
Right.
You can't remember it.
But
I understand what he's saying, though. I mean, if you capture, or like he was just saying, if you capture an orb at the same moment that somebody reports feeling something on their neck, and then you examine that spot, and there are scratches there, you know, how do you explain that? I mean, maybe it is one, but maybe it's not. Can you say definitively one way or the other that it is or it isn't?
Well, we've had video that an orb or an anomaly. I won't really say it's an orb because it wasn't, you know, the typical orb, but we had an anomaly on the screen on the video of an investigator, and it kind of hovered over, it kind of flew across where the EVP recorder was, and at that moment, we got an EVP. So, I mean, it kind of ties in. Could it be coincidence? Maybe. But you also got time stamps on your video camera because it tells you what time it is while you're videoing, and at the same time you can tie in with a little bit of effort. You can tie in, because I always announce what time we start the recorder, and we just let it run. So you can piece it together that way if you're covering your bases, you know.
Right.
Well, that is pretty cool.
Yeah,
you know,
those are the only times that I would say it's something unexplained. I'm not going to go, oh, that was a spirit, you know, energy of a spirit flying over the EVP recorder, and we got an EVP from that. But I will.
Well,
say
it could be the negative state, you know, because if spirit is made up of molecules just like you and I. Because it can touch you and stuff like that, that means it's got electrons around its nucleus. If it's made up of atoms, that means it takes up space. And so maybe the manifestation was creating taking up space like that, and what you were capturing was dust, but it was literally resting on top. Who knows?
Right.
Kind of a far-out explanation, but...
Right. But, you know, like I said, I'm, you know, I've seen a lot in my time, but I'm also a skeptic. It takes a lot for me. Ask Jeff. I take things through the extreme when it comes to believing stuff, you know. I'll be like, well, I don't know about that. When we do an EVP review, normally I have several members of the team go through it, and if we're not 100% agreed on what it is, and if it is an EVP, we throw it out. We have that theory, when in doubt, throw it out. If one person thinks it could be something explained, we throw it out.
Right. Yeah, my team pretty much worked on the same principle stuff, especially with EVPs and stuff. If it wasn't a class A EVP, then we would archive it, but we wouldn't put it out there for like peer review or whatever.
Hey guys, can I can I go ahead and call you back in 20 minutes so
yeah.
I can finish getting this kitchen closed down, and then you'll have my full attention, and I'll actually talk more, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but...
yeah, that's fine, man.
So, all right, I'll call you all back. Randy, go ahead and keep educating. Be the smart one. All right.
I'll do my best.
I'll talk to you guys in a little bit.
All right, man.
Bye.
Kind of a crazy night.
Right? Oh, it always is. That's the way live radio is.
right.
But, yeah, you know, with EVPs, it gets me so irked is I've captured some really cool EVPs, and I know it's an EVP, but I have to toss it because, we did a public investigation one time, and we had, you know, several different teams throughout the building with members of the public, and we captured some really cool stuff, but, you know, we archived it, but we didn't put it out there, we didn't share it with anybody because the fact of so many people in the building, you know, anybody that would listen to it would throw it out saying, you know, it's something else. When it was an actual response to our question, you know, we weren't saying anything. The people are with me, and I had my recorder, but there, you could hear people in the background on, like, another floor. But we had to toss it, you know, because it's contaminated.
Right. Yeah, I've actually met other teams founders of other teams and stuff who have said before they absolutely refuse to hunt with other teams at all mm-hmm. because of, you know, having to worry about stuff like that. And,
yeah.
You know, and I can't really say that I blame them. You know, mm-hmm. I think it can be a lot of fun to go out and hunt with other groups or whatever. But at times it can be a bit of a pain in the butt too. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's really hard with investigating because there are so many elements of contamination that are always around. You know that. Can tip your hat to being something other than paranormal. And, there's no rule book in paranormal investigations. There's no guidelines. There's nothing that tells a new team that comes into the scene that's watched television how they're supposed to investigate. So that's where I think a lot of this posting and presenting evidence that's not really evidence comes about. It's from inexperience.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, and stuff, and especially when you get back into the whole thing with the television shows and stuff. These television shows, they make them to make money, you know, the networks and stuff. And so, if the show is boring, then they aren't making money, and the show ends up getting canceled. So a lot of times, things that may or may not be, you know, the team might normally just toss it out. The producers may go, hey, you know, let's leave that in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just
oh, yeah.
just to keep the excitement up and or whatever.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people forget that it's entertainment purposes. You know, the more viewers they have, the more money they make, and yada, yada. And if somebody and you know what was funny, one time we did an investigation of a location here in East Texas, and it had never been investigated before. Lots of claims of activity. So a lot of times we'll Ustream our investigation. We'll tie our DVR into the Ustream, and everybody can log in and watch what we're watching through our cameras.
Right.
And we had and the local news got involved, and we ended up having like 2,000 people watching the cameras all at once. And we had a chat room going, and one guy goes, man, this is boring. This ain't like Ghost Adventures. And, you know, and people don't realize there you could spend 8, 10, 12 hours in a location and get nothing, you know?
Right, right, yeah. And, accomplish nothing more than watching the paint peel.
Yeah. You know, that's, you know, you have to have a good personality and a fun personality when you're doing investigations, because when there's nothing going on, you know, you have to find something fun to do or joke around or talk about each other or whatever it might be. I usually just make fun of Jeff if it's boring during the investigation. But yeah, you know, and people don't realize that, and I thought it was funny. These people are watching it, and they're just thinking, oh, we're going to be watching all kinds of crazy stuff happening, and that wasn't the case. They watched us walk around this place talking to things that weren't there. We got EVPs and stuff, but visually-wise, they saw our K2 meters and different other things go off, but that's the difference between a real paranormal investigation and something you watch on television.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, I use that analogy that ghost hunting is kind of like fishing, you know? You may get a couple of things. You may get nothing, or you might get a lot of things. And it's always a crapshoot when you go on these investigations.
Right, right. Yeah, that's one of the things I guess I get a little nervous about that when we do private investigations, because people will be like, you know, hey, would you come to my house and check things out? I think I've got something going on. And then you go, and it's like, okay, are we going to get anything or not?
Yeah.
You know? And then I feel a little bad for them because, you know, you can see every time we go on investigation to a private residence or whatever, and you go in and you start talking to the people and do that kind of initial interview and stuff, almost every single time they say, you're going to think I'm crazy.
Yep.
But this is going on and this is going on and this is going on. And then you do the investigation, you don't get anything at all. And they're like, no, we don't believe that you're crazy. We believe that, you know, you believe that there is something going on. We just didn't get anything. Sorry.
Yeah.
We can come back.
Right. Yeah. And we have had, and of course, on my team, I did until some of my team members left, but I still do. We have people that have extrasensory gifts, you know, can see or feel. I can feel a little bit now that I've been doing it. You know, I can feel if it's a different kind of energy in the room. But I'm not psychic or anything. It's just I've gotten sensitive to using my body as a tool, you know, and going with that gut feeling. But we've had client cases where you walk in and see, spirits aren't stupid. That's what people don't understand. Spirits aren't stupid. If they don't want you, they don't want to talk to you, or they don't want to be found out by a client, they don't necessarily have to even be there. They can leave while you're there.
Yep,
and nothing will go on. And then you leave, and an hour later, you get a phone call from the client that stuff's going haywire in their house, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, Robert and I were talking about that very thing just last night on our show and stuff about how, you know, there's absolutely no guarantee. It blows my mind the way that, you know, you've got some teams that'll go in and they'll start, you know, giving orders to these entities if they're there at all,
right.
Like they're dogs or they're pets or something, you know, trained circus animals. It's like, really? You know, if I was the old man that lived here 100 years ago, I'd probably be going for my shotgun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there are cases where, you know, the spirits from my experiences and just my belief on it. You know, it's not anything that's proven out there, but my belief is that they pick and choose who they want to talk to, you know. If you've ever been on an investigation where only certain people are getting activity and the rest are not, you know, they kind of latch on to who they want to talk to. They feel our personalities. They know what kind of person we are, you know, and they even know our names. You know, you can go in a location, not say anything, or anybody say anybody's name and do a ghost box session or an EVP session and get your name called out, you know. So these were living, breathing people at one point, and now they're on another plane. They're in another dimension, and it's kind of cool when they do that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, you know, just to add to what you were saying, you know, just because they passed doesn't mean that their personalities have changed.
Oh yeah, there. You know, we had a spirit. You know what's so funny? Going back to the shows, you know, I've been to some locations that weren't on the television shows. And after I investigated it, they ended up having one of these TV shows come in. And what they said on the show to the, you know, one location that I'm talking about, they were on Ghost Hunters, and they were telling Jason Oz, all this stuff that's going on, and it wasn't the same story they told us, right? and we were there. We gathered 216 EVPs. 65 of them were Class A. That's after we threw out another 100. And most of them that are not Class A, all I had to do was bump the volume level up on them. I didn't slow them down. I'm not a big fan of slowing things down or manipulating the EVP. I'll just increase the volume level so you can kind of hear it clearly. I try to leave the actual response intact.
Right.
But this dude, we came in and we set up our table. We're setting the DVR up, and when we get to a location, we turn that EVP recorder and just let it run, and we set it there by home base. And we were just setting up. It's, you know, broad daylight out. We get 56 EVPs from the same man. And he's by home base. And the whole time he's talking, he's butting into our conversations and making fun of every one of us.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, he would cuss. He would do okay. It was funny, you know, and that's his personality. He just wanted to be in a conversation and make fun of people. He made fun of Jeff a lot, but you know.
That son of a bitch was an asshole.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we had our equipment guy couldn't make the trip, so I put Jeff in charge of putting the LED illuminators on the arms for the cameras. Well,
right.
Each camera has a specific LED light that goes with it. They match up. And so Jeff didn't know shit about that, so he was trying to guess. And on the TV recorder, he goes, which light goes to which camera? And then right after he said that, the man chimes in and goes, oh, shit.
Nice.
So, those are the type of locations I love, because you get funny EVPs, you get these spirits just being themselves. It's not stuff flying at the wall, stuff scratching you, that kind of thing. I mean, the energy there was very laid back, very fun. I know we farted, Jeff farted up in the attic, and we got an EVP of a woman going, ew.
Nice.
I never did any such thing.
Well, whatever. I got video and audio of that.
Well, you didn't see any gas coming out of my ass. You might have sent. I mean, if there was, it would smell lemony fresh. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Right. You know, and here, every time I go on an investigation, it's just, it makes me scratch my head, per se, you know, and I got that skeptical side going, there ain't no way in hell. And then I got the other side going, well, maybe, you know, and we went to a client's home, and I had a guy with us that has gifts, and they had a trailer house, but behind the trailer house was a foundation of an old house that had burned down, and they'd had activity going on in the trailer house, and we walked out to the foundation, and he started reading stuff, and he picked up on this old man, and this old man started talking to him, and he said that he would walk to the house. Well, they had already, prior to us walking out there, already told us the claims and said that, you know, the son was sitting on the deck on the back porch and saw a shadow figure walking towards him, and it scared the hell out of him. And then we had this spirit talking to us. Of course, you know, you can take it as it is. I trust the guy, but, you know, it's not like we had it on EVP. This is what he was picking up from the guy as a psychic. And they kept having this cup. Prior to the story, they kept having this cup, they had a cup that was the favorite of the husband's, and he's a police officer, but the cup disappeared, and they couldn't find the cup, you know, and they told us about that, and I thought that was kind of weird. They bring up crazy stuff like that, but oh well. Well, as we're talking to this old dude, he said, yeah, I would walk into the house, and the clients told us about every morning they come in, and the faucet would be on.
Right.
Which that could be plumbing, could be a leak, you know. So I kind of put that in the back of my head when they told me. The dude said that he went in the house to get a glass of water. This is a spirit weapon saying this. And so we asked him, where's the cup? Oh, I put it in the wrong spot. And he told us, we walked into the house, opened the cabinet, and found it pushed in behind a bunch of stuff.
Holy cow.
And the clients were like, we didn't know that it was there, you know. It's been missing for, you know, months.
Wow.
So, you know, you kind of scratch your head going, okay, then you got the skeptical side, you know, so those kind of things I just put in the back of my head and go, well, it is what it is, you know?
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of what you have to do, I think. Generally, when I go on investigation, we get a call to, you know, for someone that wants us to come on the investigation and stuff. We'll do kind of an initial phone interview, find out, you know, what they believe is going on, take some notes, then set up a date and a time and stuff, and then we go and then we do an actual interview. And usually when I go, I usually keep it in my mind, okay, well, there's probably a lot of the things that they are experiencing can probably be explained away and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll probably find some rational explanation for it. And stuff, but that isn't always the case, you know. So I remain skeptical and stuff. But it's not like we go in trying to prove that something is there. We actually try to prove that something isn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And if we come up with stuff like that, you know, like what you're talking about, the EVPs, or you know. I can't say that we've ever been fortunate enough to have an experience like you just described and stuff.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, most of the psychics that we've ever worked with are people claiming to be psychics just haven't worked out. they've never really been, you know, very helpful. So,
yeah. You know, and for me, when I was on another team, Jeff and I and we were part of a team that we called him the Paranormal Hitler because he was the founder and it was his way or the highway. He didn't believe in psychics or any of that, you know. And when I left the group and started this team, you know, I had that mentality of, okay, anything's possible, you know.
Right.
And I met some people, a couple of them, never claimed to be psychic, but they had abilities, and the more they started investigating, the more they shocked the hell out of themselves by the stuff that they were picking up on that was popping in their head that was actually true to the history, because we always, you know, did our homework before we went and looked up historical things or whatever it might be, and they would hit it on the nose, and they're like, holy cow, how the hell did I know that, you know? And
right,
so
right.
We had those type of people that had gifts, and they developed them more. The good thing is we didn't have anybody that wanted to join our team that said, oh, yeah, I'm a psychic, by the way. Because, yeah, it's kind of leery of those type of people because they're claiming, and then you have to put them through the test, you know. And I like the way some of the members of my team are, because they don't go out and say, yeah, I'm a psychic, I can read people. Jeff and I have a really good friend that he's had this gift for a long time, and I didn't even know about it all the times I was around him in college. And he finally got more confidence in himself, and he went on a few things with us, and now he's actually come out as he's a psychic, you know, and he tries to help people. But it took him a long time to even admit that he had this extraordinary gift, you
right.
know.
Right.
Well, yeah, there's always, you know, just like you have investigators that claim to be the expert in the field, which that should be your first red flag when they say that.
Yeah.
I'm the only expert. Because I'm
expert
all-knowing.
Expert in what?
Everything.
Expert in being an asshole?
Do what?
Expert in being an asshole?
Well, if it's good, I'm that. Hey, speaking of expert and being an asshole, I got a song I'd like to play right now. It's a cover of a song by a comedian named Tim Wilson.
Uh-oh.
And it's called I Could Be Wrong. I guess I'm tired of Oprah Winfrey's ass telling me every move to make. And I'm tired of Martha Stewart's ass telling me how to bake a cake. And I've just about had my fill of Dr. fucking Phil. Tired of looking at Tiger's ass and Shaquille old fucking Neal. Paris Hilton could fuck up a county fair. Just proof that you can be stupid and be a billion fucking heir. I'm tired of Simon's ass telling people that they can't sing. And I'd fire Donald Trump's ass for knowing every fucking thing. Jen and Brad and Angelina's ass, I'm about tired of looking at them. And I'm ready for Hollywood's ass to run out of fucking film. I'm tired of everything on TV. Everybody loves Raymond, except for fucking me. I'm tired of that Lance's ass in France just riding a bike. And I can pretty much give a damn what some actress's dress looks like. It'd be nice if hip-hop's ass would finally learn to play three chords. And I'm about fed up with Nashville's ass and the handmade trophy awards. Barry Bonds hitting a bunch of fake home runs. And that fake-ass Larry the Cable's ass. And get her fucking done. And I'd like to watch football's ass without worrying about T.O. And I'm resolved to tell Dubby his ass where the fuck he can fucking go. And I'd be the first to second tell the third world where the fuck they can fucking do. It'd be fun to watch Mel Gibson's ass get whipped by a fucking Jew. I'm tired of my own ass just to singing this fucking song. There's a lot of people's ass I'm tired of the list so fucking long. I could be wrong. Oh, I could be wrong.
That was your ass.
Do what?
No, that's all.
That was singing.
That was me.
Yeah. Where did you hear that tune before? That's the first time I've heard it.
I used to hear it. Bob and Tom used to play it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, I couldn't get it out of my head, so I decided to record it.
I like it. I need a copy of that.
It's amazing.
Oh, man. But, yeah, now I got to figure out where I'm going, where I'm coming from. But, yeah, you know, one of the things that kind of irks me about the paranormal is, like we were discussing earlier about, you know, you can go in a place and not get any activity, you know, nothing that will, you can give the client and say, yeah, what you're saying is true, this is what's going on. Then there's people out there that charge money to go in, investigate, and clear your house of all negative entities and charge for it. And to me, I think that's just a crock of shit because, you know, we're not exterminators. We don't come in and spray our magic fairy dust around and make everything okay and, you know, collect a check.
Right, right, right.
Well, maybe you don't, but I do.
Well, you're not spraying magical fairy dust. You might be spraying something else.
Oh, I'm spraying a lot more than just fairy dust. Trust me.
But, yeah, you know, I try to tell people all the time, if you're looking for a team, if they claim to be experts, run the other way. If they charge money, run the other way. That's enough, you know, just the typical questions that you get asked from clients. First they'll say, well, what I'm about to tell you, you might think I'm crazy. And the other thing they always ask, do you charge?
Right, right.
I get that all the time.
Yeah, a while back there was, we had gotten contacted by somebody, I don't know how the hell they ended up finding us on, you know, our contact information on the internet, because we're up here in Ohio, but these people were from Georgia, and they contacted us and said, hey, could you come and do an investigation, and we were like, no, we don't go out of our own state. But we can help you try and find, you know, a reputable group, you know, somewhere in your area that will help you out and stuff, and then we'll put you in contact with them and stuff. So we started doing a little research, and we found a group down in Georgia, and we had, you know, a couple of phone conversations with them, and they were telling us about, they had gotten set up to do an investigation somewhere, and there was another group that had become aware of them and wanted to hunt with them. They had, you know, they had talked and chatted and stuff and got acquainted with one another, and they were like, yeah, you know, it'd be great to, you know, do an investigation. Well, apparently this investigation that they had set up, there were like three houses in a cul-de-sac or something, and all three of the houses were, they were all kind of experiencing stuff. And so they thought, well, you know, this is kind of a big investigation. Maybe we should take this other group with us and stuff. So they contacted the other group and said, hey, would you like to come? And they were like, yeah, we would like to do this investigation. Well, they gave them the information and stuff, and then they didn't hear anything else from them, you know, like, and this was like a month in advance. So, you know, I guess over the coming month, they tried contacting this other group to verify that they were going to be there, that, you know, everything was cool. And they never returned the calls, never returned emails, nothing. So they figured, all right, well, I guess this other group just kind of bowed out. We'll go and do the investigation. Well, they got there to do the investigation, and they found out this other group had already been there.
Mm.
They went ahead and went. This other group went ahead and went. The homeowner said that they were there all of maybe 2 hours for all three houses. You know, ran around from house to house, snapped some photos, took some EVPs. After 2 hours, they came back out, said, oh, yeah, your place is haunted. About the only thing you can do is move. By the way, it's going to be $200 a house.
Oh!
Wow.
Yeah, it was, when they told us this story, I was like, oh, my God. Are you serious? And they were like, yeah, this actually happened.
I would tell them they can kiss my ass on 200.
Yeah. Get the hell off my property.
I charge Outlaw $200 just to say hi to me. Because this right here is what you call amazingness, and that, you know, you don't get that for free.
Right, right.
But yeah, there's straight to the line, shaking his head, going, "What the hell?"
Well, yeah, I guess the group ended up going ahead and doing the investigation. They were there for, like, you know, most of the night, and they were real apologetic to the people about what had happened and stuff. And this happened when I heard about this. This was a couple of years ago and stuff. So I couldn't honestly tell you the name of the groups, and I don't know if it would be a good idea if I did that or not. Anyway. But, but yeah, I just it kind of irks me when that kind of you hear about that kind of thing, because I mean, you know, we're talking about a field that you know, who the hell is an expert really on anything?
Yeah, well, because, you know, we all have our own personalities, we have our own beliefs, we have our own theories, you know, and collectively, the only way we as a field can move anywhere is share those beliefs and ideas with other people and go back and forth, you know, and go that way. But to claim that you know everything, I mean, none of us are ever going to know everything about the other side until the day comes that we go to that side.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I couldn't agree more. As a matter of fact, I was telling somebody here not too long ago, and, you know, the time that I've been ghost hunting and stuff, I got into it originally because I was really interested in finding some answers. And the truth of the matter is, I think I probably got more questions now than I had when I started out.
Yeah. 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 You know, the addiction part of the fuel, I guess you could say, that drives all paranormal investigators is, you know, we start to get answers to maybe some of our questions or partial answers. And then we get more questions, and we're like, "Well, damn it! Now I got to figure this out," you know. So
right, right.
it's a constant thing, and every time you think you know everything about what a spirit is going to do or say or whatever it might be on an EVP or actual things moving, you go to a place and something completely just out of left field happens, and you're just like, "Now, how in the hell did they do that?" You know?
Right, right. Yep. Yep, absolutely.
I believe we have Mr. Ryan back. Ryan, you there?
Hey, I'm back.
Hey, Ryan.
Sorry it took so long. As usual, you get the last-minute asshole who comes in 5 minutes before the kitchen closes and orders the thing that takes the longest to cook.
Every single time.
I do
every
that.
Single time.
You know, it's like Robert said, I'm working like 700 hours a week on top of going to school full time, you know, and I work at a restaurant, you know. A lot of veterans, when they get out of the Army, they turn to drugs and alcohol. I turn to spitting in people's food. So,
you see, when I go into a restaurant, like just a few minutes before they close and I order something, you know, extravagant, I always make up for it because I'll tip the cooks with half-price coupons to the nearest strip club.
Hey, there you go.
Not these dickheads. They looked at me like, why are you I literally, okay, cook's window. The cook's window faces the restaurant and everything, so I can see everybody in the restaurant. And the couple actually looked into the kitchen right before they ordered the roasted chicken. And the guy saw the grimace on my face. And he looked at me like, why are you looking at me like that, asshole?
Wow.
So, yeah. People don't get it. No, for the record, I do not actually spit in people's food.
That'd have at least given you half off a lap dance.
Right.
We don't have any strip clubs in my town, so.
Well, none that you know of, but I bet there's one there. It's just an underground facility. They take coupons, too.
Yeah. It's called a high school alcohol party.
Well, now, those I stay away from.
Or a crack house.
So, what were we talking about?
Jeff and Randy have been just talking about different things when dealing with clients and teams out there that charge money to a client, saying that or claiming that they're an expert or charging money, saying that they can go in and find out what the problem is and get rid of it.
What was that movie with, what was his name? The guy with Parkinson's disease that was on The Mighty Ducks.
Oh.
What
was that movie? That was a good movie.
That was a good movie. He'd go in and, you know, he'd send his goons in, the ghosts, to
yeah, it had Michael J. Fox in it.
Yeah, that's it.
And, what's his name? The Sergeant Lee Ermey?
Yeah. The guy from Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, he was in the cemetery. He was the drill sergeant in the cemetery.
Yeah. That was amazing. But,
yeah,
you know, before the Debunker Boys got together, I was doing like personal, like consulting, just kind of giving people peace of mind. And I, you know, it's not charging. All I would ask for is to cover my travel expenses.
Right.
That's it. Oh, because I drive a gas guzzling F-150. I'm living the American dream. And it gets 10 miles to the gallon. So, you know, if I got to drive somewhere 3-4 hours, there's $90 that it costs me just to drive there. So that's all I ask from the clients, you know, because the equipment, you know, obviously I get that just because, you know, I get a hard on from getting a cool gadget that light up. But as far as charging, no, that's ridiculous because nobody's an expert. I mean, you can't be an expert in a field. There's no college class that teaches you how to be a ghost hunter.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, we had come across, we'll see what your opinion on this is. This is quite interesting. I hate talking about it because even though I'm not originally from Texas, I'm actually born and raised in Ohio, but I moved to Texas at an early age, so I've been here most of my life. But in my own state, we come across a group that not only charge for investigation, they also have a 2-day EVP class that you can pay $200, and they will teach you how to capture EVPs, and by the time you're done, you will capture not only EVPs, but you'll capture, like, full-sentence EVPs.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I bet they have to put a disclaimer. They have to give a disclaimer. I bet they have to give a disclaimer saying for educational, or not for educational, for entertainment purposes only, correct?
I would really like to know who these people are. I would like to check this out. And
yeah,
then
yeah,
invite them onto our show.
The Bunker Boys show.
I'll have to remember who they are. It's been about a year, but I'll have to look it up. But I'll send you the information once I do off and air.
That would be awesome if you could do that. I would really like to check these guys out because, personally, I think that's bullshit.
Yeah. $200, man, $200. Hell, I can teach you how to capture EVPs, you know. Just be yourself, but have an EVP recorder, and don't ask stupid questions.
Yeah, that's $200 advice right there.
There you go. Don't ask parents. How did you die? You know, stupid stuff like that. Because most of the time they ain't gonna answer. You know, you just be yourself. You know, a lot of times spirit clock, and you don't have to even be talking to them. You can be talking to another investigator, and they're gonna chime in.
You know what the best way to get evidence is? Just turn on the recorder, okay, and make senseless noises. And then when you get a senseless noise response back, you know it's an EVP responding to your question. just make noises. Just make noises like or. And when you get that back, that's the response to your question right there.
I like to ask the most ridiculous questions you can think of. Like, what was that one house we went to? I think it was in Henderson. We were doing isolation EVPs, and I was kind of running out of questions to ask, so I just threw it out there. I said, have any of the spirits here ever been in love with a midget weighing 39 pounds? Now, there was actually a practical reason I chose that kind of a question, because my intention was not to get an answer from the spirit. My intention was to get the spirits to respond with, what the fuck?
What the hell is this guy talking about?
Did you get it?
I think they were too confused as to what I asked. They were like, just all shaking their heads, like, "The hell's wrong with this guy?"
It would have been great if you got like a bunch of laughter.
I'm looking for that too.
It's like a room full of ghosts cracking up at this question.
Yeah. No, he gets spirits that make fun of him. One spirit called him fatty.
We actually did an investigation on a haunt that was supposed to be one of our investigators' former boyfriends. He had died about 5 years ago, and the little girl who it was her mom's ex-husband or something like that. She was actually seeing this. The 5-year-old was seeing the spirit. Like she had no idea. He died before she could even, you know, comprehend what he looked like or anything like that. And yet she was describing him and talking with him. And the investigator who actually dated him many years back goes in the house and she goes, Howie, you know, do you remember me? And we got an EVP coming back that said, asshole. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah. I love when spirits are respond with funny things. You know, it just cracks me up with some of the stuff I've heard.
Well, how do you guys feel about? Oh shit! I had the word right on the antagonizing.
Provoking.
Yeah,
I don't like to do that.
If I do any provoking, it's not provoking itself, like calling them an asshole and that kind of thing. It's more of I bet you can't do this, you know, I can bet you can't move that ball, or you
yeah,
apparently
like
won't do it. Yeah, those more subtle kind of ways of doing it, or with trigger objects, you know, that kind of thing. Like
right.
if there's a murder in a house, I'll take a cap gun in there and shoot it off to see if I can get any residual type stuff. But which you'll meet somebody else when y'all come on, because I got y'all scheduled to come on Terrify Radio in a week or two. Jody, she's a woman, and she does things a little bit different. She's controversial. You want to talk about hate mail? She's been through the rigmarole, and she just does things a little different. Now, she doesn't provoke client cases, those type of things. This would be like a well-known location that's haunted, and some of the claims might be that it's haunted by a rapist or some kind of male figure that has been dead 100 years or whatever it might be. And she has all girls on her team. So the women go in there and they start talking shit to these asshole spirits that push and scratch and whatever else. And yeah, it's dangerous, and they know the harm that it can cause. But at the same time, they get results, because if you have a spirit of a man that's been dead for over 100 years and a woman comes in and talks to him, you know, really vulgar and stands up to them, they don't know how to react to that, because women in their day were submissive, you know?
Right.
More outspoken. So she does it, but it's, you know, and I've been friends with her for, God, almost 3 years, and she's a great investigator. She just tries to push the buttons on investigating, and she's caught a lot of hell from it, you know? But that's her technique. I you know, I don't agree with a lot of it, and I told her that. But it's her way of doing things. I have my way of doing things. But as long as you're not provoking spirits that are involving a family, like in a home that you
right.
don't live in,
right?
Then, you know, I'm okay with that. Because there has been many clients that I've been called. They call me, and they've already had an investigation at their house from another team. And that team went in there and stirred the pot. And now it's worse than it was before.
Yeah, that's exactly my feeling on the matter. When our team first got together, we talked about provoking and stuff. And I was patently against it. I mean, you know, just flat out against it. Because my whole line of thought is I get to go home. you know, I get to leave. You know, and I don't have to deal with the fallout. You know, after the fact that, you know, anything that I've stirred up, I don't have to deal with it. I leave and I go home and I go to bed that night and I sleep well. And while they're being terrified.
Yeah, you know, and Jeff and I, we were on the opposite end of this, because the first team that we belonged to, we were just investigators. And like I said earlier in the show, Paranormal Hitler that ran the group, because that's what I call him, we had, you know, and this is when I first started investigating. So I had no knowledge of anything. I didn't know the dangers. I'm one of these guys that's real skeptic. I have to see it to believe it, you know, type of thing.
Right.
And so when I got involved in this, he was like, you know, balls to the wall, provoke, be an asshole. Be like Zach Bagans when they first started their show on television, because he doesn't even do that anymore. He's been humbled after being after provoking so many spirits. His ass has been humbled at the whole fact that these things have come home and tormented his ass. So
right.
he don't even do it that much anymore. But
right.
We went into a home, and Jeff was a witness to this. We went into a home and we didn't know that there was a demonic type entity there. And, you know, we just assumed it was a bad spirit. We weren't involved, you know, we didn't know anything about the worst of the worst. Well, there was one of these entities there. And we started provoking, and the shit just hit the fan. I was standing in a room. I went back to the back bedroom first, and I had the camera, and I was watching the investigators come down the hall, and Jeff was the last one behind the other two, and this spirit was, or this entity was affecting one of our investigators. His whole demeanor changed. He's normally the last guy into a room, you know. He's right. Like, you go first. Now all of a sudden he's balls to the wall, and he's got a different look about him. And he was holding a K2 meter, and it's pegging out the entire time he's holding it, right? And we know that it's not EMF from the house because we did a prior check before, you know, a walkthrough before we even started the investigation, knew where all the EMF fields were. And this thing's just pegging out, and he's talking weird. He gets in the doorway, and he just collapsed. Like something just sucked everything out of him. He collapsed, and the K2 meter is just pegged, you know, just constantly going back and forth to the red. And so when I walk into the room, it felt like I was walking into a meat cooler. And we're in a trailer house, right? The air conditioners are turned off. It was May or June in Oklahoma, and so it was really warm outside. March. But, you know, it was fairly warm outside. And we walked in there, and it was so freaking cold. And I was like, why the fuck's this room cold? And then when he collapsed, I ran up to him. I said, dude, what's going on? And then I felt something hit me in the back. And I kind of buckled back. And the next thing I know, me, the guy that was collapsed, you know, kind of leaned up against the doorway. He wasn't all the way to the floor. He was kind of leaning the doorway. And another investigator, we all ended up in the floor in the hallway outside the room.
Wow.
Something shoved us, threw us, pushed us, whatever you want to call it. We didn't fall into each other, so it wasn't like a domino effect, right? So it's not like I tripped, fell into them, and knocked us all out. No. We were all standing upright, and Jeff was outside in the hallway, so he saw it with his two eyes. And we just ended up on the damn floor, and I'm like, what in the fuck just happened, you know? and then the whole room started smelling like sulfur. I mean, it smelled like rotten eggs, like somebody blew the worst fart in history. And that's where I got kind of humbled when it came to provoking, you know?
Right.
And we're in somebody's home. And after that, we ended up having to go back there, and it's a six-hour drive for us. And so we had to go back because all the shit-talking that our founder did, it made it worse for this family. A little girl got pulled out of bed and slammed up against the wall after we left. And so we had to go back, and then he's still trying to provoke. And I remember the second time, Jeff, you and I pulled out the Bible and was trying to, you know, at that time we didn't know what the fuck to do, you know. We were still kind of new. So we just turned to the Bible and said, well, we gotta try to do something different, you know, to try to help the family, not antagonize this thing. And he's still over there provoking and talking shit, you know. And I'm just like, man, that was probably the turning point for me of thinking I need to get in another situation out of this group. You know?
right.
This ain't me. I just got my ass put out in the hallway by something that I could not see, something I cannot explain. Fuck this.
I can't say that I've ever had that kind of experience personally, but that's exactly the kind of experience that I find so worrisome with the idea of provoking and stuff, and exactly why, you know, I always kind of swore, man, I'm not doing this stuff because it could get bad.
Yeah, Ryan, what's your take on the whole provoking thing?
Ryan?
Oh, it says he's on, but he might have lost signal, but he's still on the studio. So, anyway.
Oh, guys, I'm so sorry. I had my phone on mute. I didn't even realize I had it on mute.
I'm sitting here going, hello. But I'm provoking. Oh, I'm the provoker. Like, I am the guy that, okay, I love it. I absolutely love doing it. I'll give you an experience. We had done this one home, and the family believed that the negative entity resided in this like family heirloom china doll. And this doll was like, I don't know, like 80 years old or something like that. And the family wanted it out of the home. I was like, well, I'll take it home. This big old 250-pound man, redneck man, would not shake my hand while I was holding this doll. And he looks at me and he goes, I'm telling you this out of experience, not out of superstition. Treat this doll with respect or bad things will happen. Well, I took it home. I said, let's see what happens. I burned its hair, and then I started slapping it around, going, you little slut, let's see what you can do. I got a response. I got attacked a couple of times. You know, so weird things. One of my friends actually got scared out of my house when I wasn't there. Nobody was in my house other than myself. Or no, I wasn't even there. Nobody was in the house except for him. He had actually come over to my house to steal a Hot Pocket. And
this is what you get for stealing my Hot Pocket, fucker.
I know, and this guy did not believe in ghosts at all.
Wow.
Until he left my house, and he goes, dude, there's a fucking ghost in your house. I'm never coming over to your house again. He texted me that while I was at the movies. And I thought, I just laughed because I knew, you know, weird stuff was happening, but it was not something that I could time or when I do this will happen or anything like that. So I couldn't, like, set up a video camera or anything to capture it. Like sometimes in the morning, you know, I'd put my razor away or I'd put something up in the mirror. I'd walk back into my room, and it would fly out of the bathroom all the way down the hall and be in front of my bedroom door. And stuff like that. And it seemed like the worse I treated this doll, the more stuff happened. It's odd. That correlation, causation effect, you know, I don't know if there's actually a correlation, but it seemed, you know, it's really coincidental that every time I would treat this doll bad stuff weird stuff would happen.
You're a much braver man than I would be.
Well, I mean, think of it. All right. I'm not a superstitious guy at all. Actually, half the time, I don't believe in ghosts. But at the same time, I was a ghost hunter. You know, I would drive 2 hours to a location to go experience shit. You know, why not have this shit happening in my own house? You know, that's like a freaking ADD kid in a candy store, you know? You know, I think it's cool, and the more stuff that happens without me having to go anywhere and do anything, the better, the happier I am.
I wish I had that. I never had to wish anything to happen. Things just normally happened. I've seen so much shit. Jeff's seen a lot of shit. And, you know, I get the tag-alongs a lot into my house. I've not had any nasty spirits. I got one that's still here, or two. One's a family member, but the other one's from a location. And for the most part, nothing really happens. The only time I'm really even aware of the spirit here is if one of my friends that has a, you know, psychic ability or whatnot, they'll say, that little boy standing in your hallway, which it's not really a little boy. The man died when he was 43, but he's always appeared and talked like an 8-year-old boy. You know, I guess they form whatever. Yeah, No, this guy was a practical joker, and one test that I always do if I have a psychic medium on my radio show is if they have the ability to read a house from the phone, and I'll ask them if they can, and then so I'll have them read my house and see if they can pick up on these two. And 90% of them that I've had have hit them to a T and said, you know, this is the reason they're there, this, that, and other. And I'm just like, damn, okay, now you got my interest because you know something about this and you never met me before, you know. So, but, I just wish, and I'm talking about y'all, I hope y'all are listening. I wish they would pay rent or do the dishes or do my laundry or something. You know,
take the trash out once in a while, you know.
Yeah.
Take the dog out, you know.
Freaking freeloaders.
By the way,
you
the garage,
what, you
could
know,
use
hey, Randy,
out?
Randy, that gives me an idea for one of our shows.
What's that?
We need to call it Ghost the Freeloaders.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know. There's what also concerns me about the paranormal field nowadays with a lot of the, you know, teens that are out there, especially newer teens. I hear it all the time. They go into a client's home. They'll collect evidence or whatnot, and they'll tell the clients verbatim, "Oh, you have a demon here, and we can't help."
God.
and they leave and leave this poor client. You know, the client just thought it was a spirit. Now all of a sudden there's a demon. They're like, "Holy shit!" But you know, and that's from watching the movies. I mean, most movies, horror movies that come out involve demons. The certain television shows talk about them. They're out there. They exist.
Ghost Adventures.
Yeah,
I love Ghost Adventures.
they do exist, but they're not as common as some of these teams are doing. And I just wish they, because the way I've been involved in a couple cases and involved in some. I guess you could call them exorcisms in a way. They weren't by the Catholic Church, but and they're pretty damn crazy. They're something that you would think you would only see in a horror movie until you witness it with your own eyes, and you damn near want to shit or throw up. You don't know which one to do at the time.
That's called gastroenteritis. You do it at the same time.
Right, The way I look at it, you don't need to be throwing that word around because there may not be that there. More than likely there isn't. It's just an asshole spirit. And but if you throw that word around enough, then they're going to have that guest, you know? So don't be saying that they have this or that or another when you don't know yourself. Just leave it out, you know?
My take on that is if ghosts exist and they are intelligent haunts like a lot of people say they are, it would kind of be like this, okay? Imagine you go to sleep one night and you wake up and you're in another place and you can't figure out how you got there. You went to bed in your own bed and you wake up in another place. Well, you go back to your home, you know, the home that you've spent so many years in. And there's someone else living in your home. There's other people in your home, and you're sitting there thinking, "What the hell? This is my house. Why are these people here?"
Mm-hmm.
And you chit chat with you're trying to talk to them, you're trying to communicate with them, and they're ignoring you. So you start doing stuff to get their attention. Hey, you know, and they get scared, and they call in, you know, a team, and they come in thinking they're the next, you know, team that's going to be on television, and they set up all this equipment, and they start calling you a demon and saying, "Hey, demon, get out."
Mm-hmm.
And you look people, and you're like, "Well, what the hell? This is my house. Why am I going to get out? You get out." you come into my house and you tell me to get out? No.
And where the hell did these retards come from?
and you're calling me a demon? All right, well, I'll show you a fucking demon. And, you know, so it's kind of like that, you know? Yeah,
well,
yeah, never.
I totally agree with you, Ryan, because I think that a lot of times with some of these cases where they get scratched and they have the three scratches and some of the other common things that are involved in a demonic type cases, I think that in order to scare the hell out of people or even a paranormal team to get them out of your house and you're just a human spirit, you start doing things to make yourself look like you're a very powerful demonic force to scare the shit out of them so they get out of your house. So they mimic things that a demon would do.
Well, Kevin,
yeah, what they,
I have...
You know, case in point, you look at, what was it? What was the name of that movie? Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice. You know, these people are like, you know, doing this crazy stuff, but yeah, actually altering their appearance to, you know, try and scare the hell out of these people.
Yeah. Well, I actually have an explanation of scratches, believe it or not. Well, not all scratches, okay? All right, for the record, this is just my educated opinion, okay? The debunker boys are not claiming to be experts. But scratches, okay, that goes back to the whole selective memory thing. I don't know how many times I have woken up in the morning and had a scratch on my neck or a scratch on my chest or, you know, multiple scratches and thought, how the hell did I get these? Okay, let's say I woke up with one of these and I didn't even notice it. And that night I went on a ghost hunt. And while I'm on this ghost hunt, I come home and all of a sudden the scratch is on me. What am I going to relate that scratch to? The ghost hunt, because that was the significant event. Okay? Did you know that just your clothes alone can cause scratches on you? Like your collar caused scratches on you all. And people don't realize that. And when you go into a stressful environment, what happens? Your heart rate goes up. More blood is pumped to your skin. There's actually a magic trick that I perform where I have someone pick a card, and they pick the card, and they put it back in the deck and whatever, and then I have them squeeze my arm. And when they let go of my arm, a scratch, an actual, like, it almost, a scratch appears on my arm in the shape of their card. And people freak out thinking that I'm some sort of voodoo, you know, heebity-jeebity, whatever. But honestly, what I do to preset that is I actually scratch my arm in the shape of that card just enough to cause that white scratch. And when that skin, when you grab the skin, when you squeeze your skin, when that blood is forced to the skin, it actually causes that area to turn red and look like a legitimate scratch. And it will literally appear before your eyes. You know, the name of this card will literally appear before your eyes. And it's amazing. It's an amazing phenomenon, but I believe that can contribute to about 99% of supposed paranormal scratches.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I agree.
No,
I'm not sure that I agree.
I
get what you're saying, but, like, you know, if you've already got a scratch on you and then you go to the investigation and stuff, and then you have a personal experience, and then you're like, oh, man, I just got scratched. And you look at the scratch and stuff. You can tell the difference between a fresh scratch and one that's been there a while. So, yeah, I don't know. And, I mean, I've been in situations, I've seen on investigations where people claim to get scratched. And, you know, there's welt. The skin is actually broken. It's not... You know, it's not scabbed over at all. There's red, you know, it's red around the scratches and stuff. And that's not the kind of thing that you normally get from something that's been there a while. So,
No, I've actually had that happen to me where I actually had scratches bleed. I was attacked by something that wasn't there. And that's actually one of my first experiences that actually fueled my interest in the paranormal field. So I'm not saying that's how you attribute all scratches, but just like what the Debunker Boys do, we actually narrow down the amount of paranormal evidence out there. You know, we want to narrow down, you know, this is one of the paranormal occurrences that we want to try to narrow down.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And you know, mostly I do agree with you. It's like I said, I think that's a perfectly rational explanation for some cases of it. But you know, if it's a situation where the scratch clearly looks, you know, fresh and stuff, then
we were in a 10-story sanatorium in Arkansas that was a tuberculosis sanatorium like Waverly, and it had the same kind of feel. There was over 15,000 deaths at this place, and we were standing in the middle of a hallway, and the girls that were with us weren't leaned up against anything, and one girl was sitting there holding the camera, and all of a sudden she just kind of bent over, and I was like, what's wrong? She goes, my neck's burning. What the hell? And she started grabbing the hold of her neck, and I turned my flashlight on, and there was 3 scratches. And then probably about 30 minutes later, we were walking down the other end of that, you know, because the hospital is just a straight hallway shot, one end to the other. We're in the other end, and another girl got scratched on her face. And, you know, because the first thing I look at is, okay, were they leaned up against something? Did they walk, you know, how did their body come in anything contact with anything that could have caused this?
Right.
And
yeah.
So when they appear, then I'm like, holy shit, you know, I'm standing 2 feet from this person and this happened, you know, so it's unexplained. But yeah, I agree with you because, especially when you're dealing with clients, you have to go through an enormous checklist of possible things that they could have done or something could have been, you know, something can be explained by why they're telling you this claim, right, that's happened to them. Because a lot of times, and I've found this a lot of times, especially when fear is involved, clients will make the story sound a lot worse than they really are. You know, and they embellish these stories, and you know when you're scared, and the way your brain works, you just start embellishing this immaculate story that more than likely probably did not happen. You know, like that.
Almost certainly.
So you definitely have to go through a checklist, and you definitely have to ask questions to try to figure out if it's something unexplained or is it something that I can tell them, look, this is what's really going on. You know, you did this or this happened to you, you know. And in a way, it helps calm the client down if you can explain away a lot of the stuff. Because then they're like, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense, you know.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's just like I've got this I've actually got this fear of snakes. I hate snakes. I absolutely hate those stupid things. And stuff, and
but
up here in
so
Ohio
cute.
we don't really have we don't have poisonous snakes up here, at least not where I live. There are no rattlesnakes, there are no, you know, known really venomous snakes or anything. We have gardener snakes, and I hate those things. And I kid you not, the last time I saw a gardener snake, I could have swore this thing was like 8 feet long. It was absolutely huge, and my brother came out and he looked at it, and this snake was probably all of 8 inches long.
fear does amazing things to the mind and the body.
It does.
Yes.
It absolutely does. And
well,
stuff.
Hey,
and even investigators,
my girlfriend...
investigators going into. An investigation and stuff, when you go in, a lot of times, I've noticed with a lot of the team members and stuff, especially the newer people, when they go on investigation and stuff, they hear about, the things that are supposedly going on in the location. And they get there, and all of a sudden they're having, you know, they're seeing things, they're hearing things, they're having these personal experiences, they're, you know, and a lot of that can be attributed to their own, you know, getting themselves psyched up and stuff and worked up, their own fear.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, guys, I have to get going because my girlfriend's getting pissed at me. She wants some attention, and
we were about to wrap it up anyway because it's time to do the wrap-up. So,
okay.
Yeah, so you guys are on the network on Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturday nights.
Yes, sir.
What are y'all going to be talking about this Saturday? Have y'all figured it out yet?
I think wasn't Robert talking about we were going to go over discoveries like the spark plug found in the geode and stuff, or were we talking about biocentrism?
I'm not real sure. He talked a little bit about both. We talked about that stuff a little bit last night, but
cool.
It was kind of one of those things where it was just like, well, you know what? yeah.
But anyway, check the Debunker Boys out right here on the URN Radio Network on Saturday nights. And thanks so much, guys, for coming on tonight.
Oh, thanks for having us. We love coming on and talking to you guys.
All right.
And I'm sorry
couldn't
be on the whole time. And I know Robert's sorry.
Yeah.
Plans change, you know, things like, you know, at the time that you asked us to be on, I was looking at my schedule and I was like, oh, yeah, that'll be no problem. And then, of course, you know, being in the restaurant business, it's cutthroat.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'll get to talk to you guys again, next Tuesday, the 25th. So hopefully you guys will be able to come on. You'll get to meet my other host, Jody Parks. You'll enjoy her. She'll make you laugh your ass off.
Awesome.
Oh.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
I
love
talking to women.
Well, you guys have a great night, and thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, you
yep,
too.
Thank you.
You guys have a great night.
Cool.
That was the Debunker Boys.
Very nice.
Yeah, I told you, they got personalities like us. They say whatever's on their mind. So
right.
They can be controversial in the sense that they try to come up with different explanations, but hey, I mean, that's part of being a paranormal investigator is try to explain away some of the things that people experience.
Right.
So, do you have a song for us?
Sure, the song I played earlier.
All right. Well, check us out next week. Jeff will not be on, so I'll probably have Matt come on with me. I have a girl named Amy Jo. She's a ghost box chick, and she's a paranormal investigator, and we'll be talking to her. Tuesday, we have paranormal investigator Julie Snyder on the show on Terrify Radio. That's it for me. Y'all have a great week. And Jeff, play us out.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I guess I'm tired of Oprah Winfrey's ass telling me every move to make. And I'm tired of Martha Stewart's ass telling me how to bake a cake. And I've just about had my fill of Dr. fucking Phil. Tired of looking at Tiger's ass and Shaquille old fucking Neal. Paris Hilton could fuck up a county fair. Just proof that you can be stupid and be a billion fucking heir. I'm tired of Simon's ass telling people that they can't sing. And I'd fire Donald Trump's ass for knowing every fucking thing. Jen and Brad and Angelina's ass, I'm about tired of looking at them. And I'm ready for Hollywood's ass to run out of fucking film. I'm tired of everything on TV. Everybody loves Raymond, except for fucking me. I'm tired of that Lance's ass in France just riding a bike. And I can pretty much give a damn what some actress's dress looks like. It'd be nice if hip-hop's ass would finally learn to play three chords. And I'm about fed up with Nashville's ass and the Handmade Trophy Awards. Barry Bonds hitting a bunch of fake home runs. And that fake-ass Larry the Cable's ass. And get her fucking done. And I'd like to watch football's ass without worrying about T.O. And I'm resolved to tell W's ass where the fuck he can fucking go. And I'd be the first to second tell the third world where the fuck they can fucking do. It'd be fun to watch Mel Gibson's ass get whipped by a fucking Jew. I'm tired of my own ass just to singing this fucking song. There's a lot of people's ass I'm tired of, but the list is too fucking long. I could be wrong. Oh, I could be wrong.